Hey everyone, this is the second episode of the Radwagon Podcast. I am your host, Tim, and with me as usual are Mike, Miles, and Matt. How are you doing today, guys?
Good.
Great.
It's a lot of M names.
M's. Mike, Miles, Matt.
Now you have to change your name to Mim, so that you can match.
Yes, I will.
Just the only one name around.
Yeah, there you go, Mitt. The only one missing today is Mustin. He couldn't make it. So we have a few topics to talk about tonight. We'll talk about the Oscars, some news from that. We'll talk about Anthem demo, Apex, Overwatch League starting, a few other things. And then final discussions will end up being, do trailers show too much? How does that affect the creative efforts of the filmmakers or television makers? And then we'll get into some Captain Marvel predictions. So what's everyone been doing with their lives? How's everyone doing?
Cold and tired.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. No, been good. Not too much has changed, really. Still playing a lot of WoW.
As usual.
Yep. Been Path of Exile. Kind of been not playing that as much. Kind of hit a wall in the game. Oh, one thing I haven't tried out was Final Fantasy 14, just as a potential alternative to WoW, because it's free for anyone with Twitch Prime. So go grab that if you do have Twitch Prime.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
It's not bad. It's you get the base game and 30 days free of playtime, so it's a good way to get a feel for things, get leveled up to at least like. Obviously it's just the base game, so you can't get to like current max level, but it gives you a good feeling for what the game's about. So we'll see how that goes. Everyone keeps telling me I need to level to at least 30 to unlock enough skills to get a good feel for the combat system, so hopefully that'll pan out, because right now it is a little bit underwhelming.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. That's Final Fantasy 14, free with Twitch Prime. I know Justin plays a lot of that. He loves that game. And there are a few other friends we have that also really enjoy playing it. I've just been playing Kingdom Hearts 3. That's finally out. Been waiting, what is it, like 15 years for this one to come out? Yeah, it's pretty fun, though. It's a lot of classic Kingdom Hearts elements there with some interesting new stuff. I've been rewatching Game of Thrones. I know you guys, you and Matt, I know you and Miles said you were rewatching that as well. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
Oh, no. This is actually my second rewatch since last season. Because I rewatched it, I was in like October, November, but then I convinced my wife to watch it for the first time, so I'm rewatching it yet again before season 8.
Oh yeah, okay, very nice. And who knows? Maybe once we get a little closer to season 8, we'll get into some predictions for that. We might do an episode about that. We'll see. I've been, other than that, not too much new going on. I've been playing more Rocket League lately. That's a lot of fun. Miles, you've started playing Apex, didn't you?
If that's what you call it. I want to play it, but it's been not going so well so far. I've just done basically the training course a couple times, and then I've only gotten into like 3 or 4 different games, and I've gotten slaughtered pretty much immediately in all of them. So, and then I was trying to play today, but it wasn't loading the games for some reason.
Who knew?
Oof. So yeah, not really impressed yet, and I don't know if the problem's on my end or not, but
I don't know that it is. The couple videos I've watched about it, like not quite reviews, but kind of just like first impression style videos. Most of them had the same consensus. Either you have a three stack to play with, or you get killed early and often.
Yeah, fun.
Doesn't surprise me.
We're getting to that later, though, right?
We can get into it now.
I played a bit of it, too.
Oh, you did? Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, we can get into it now.
Yeah, let Mike go through his updates, and we'll get to that a little later.
There isn't much to update. Overwatch, obviously. And then Apex and Anthem is pretty fun. The Anthem demo that came out, I was able to play that.
What'd you think of it?
I like it. I'm not entirely sure if I want to buy it day one, but also because they threw you in the demo, they threw you into it like halfway through the story, so it's kind of jarring. I'll probably wait and see about reviews and stuff, but
yeah.
Other than that, as far as other entertainment, I've just am finishing up my I don't even remember how many times, but just another run through of Scrubs. And yeah. I just started one episode only, but The Good Place, finally getting around to that.
That is a show that I've been getting into myself somewhat recently. It's really good. If you're into Parks and Rec or The Office, it's the same creator, Michael Schur, guy who plays Moe's in The Office.
Yeah.
It's really good so far.
Yeah, even just the one episode that I saw was entertaining enough that I'll probably keep watching it.
Yeah, well, I'm actually caught up with the show. I'm to wherever they are that was most recently aired live. And yeah, it's still great, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's about it for me, though.
All right. So what about Apex, then? Mike, what did you think of it?
So, I love that it's free-to-play. That makes it easy to try out. I'm not investing money into it. But I think it's... I don't know if I'm going to like it yet. I have to keep playing and get more experienced and stop sucking so hard. I have a similar... experience with it in that I just get slaughtered. So until I stop getting slaughtered every single time, then I'll have to see. I'll have to reserve judgment. But I think there's a decent chance I actually will end up liking it, unlike other battle royale games.
You liking a battle royale game? Wow.
Yeah, well, pretty much exclusively because it has like Overwatch elements or MOBA elements with abilities and ultimates and whatnot. It at least adds that depth to it, that it's not just whoever can find the best loot and shoot each other in the head the best.
Okay, I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet, but I did download it, so I'll probably be trying that maybe later tonight or tomorrow. I've actually been reading more, really. For the first time in, like, a few years, I finally read a book.
Yeah.
I read Annihilation, actually, the book the movie's based on. I finished it last night. I thought it was great, but it's very different from the movie. The movie basically takes the core elements of the premise, and that's it. Other than that, it's just complete. It's a completely different thing. There are some little other bits and pieces that it pulls from as well, but it's an entirely different thing. But hey, if anyone out there is looking for a new book to read, I would highly recommend Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer. So, how about we move into some news, guys?
Real quick, though, I'm going to add to the whole Apex thing. I was going through some of the stuff, and I noticed they actually have really awesome skins for, like, characters and weapons in that.
Really?
Really? So, yeah, there's a lot of them.
That's pretty cool.
So,
Yeah, I mean, I saw they released a roadmap for future updates for it, and it looks like they're heavily copying the Fortnite style of free-to-play. Which, I mean, kind of a good thing. Look at how good Fortnite's done, and with any luck, we can finally dethrone that game.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be doing some battle passes as well. Huh, neat.
Yeah, they have a very Overwatchy loot box system as well. Like, it's very similar even in the animation. When you're in-game and open one, it pops open and drops four items of random loot of the varying colors, white, blue, purple, and gold.
So, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have to try that later tonight.
Can you buy the loot boxes to get items, or is it strictly cosmetics that you can buy?
I think it's all cosmetics anyway. I think.
Makes sense.
Okay, cool.
My one loot box that I've gotten so far was cosmetic.
Alright.
So, on that same, like, new games topic, Mike, about the Anthem demo. What exactly did they give you for that? Because I didn't get a chance to play that. You said they dropped you in the middle of the story, so did they kind of just drop you on, like, a mid-game geared character and say go? Or, like, how did they handle that?
They started you at level 10, and you had all very, very basic white color, rarity, not, like, physically colored white, but white items that were at level 10. And threw you into a mission that's kind of in the middle of the story. So not only was the plot jarring to get into, but they kind of just threw you in, like, with, you know, a basic set of abilities unlocked. I mean, a very basic titan. They're called javelins in this game. Very basic all-around javelin. And they just threw you into the world. And you got to play maybe two or three story missions. And then you could also do one of the dungeons and also do, like, free roam in one of several zones. And then you were capped at, I believe, 15, I want to say. It's a handful of levels that you got to play through. And at level 12, you were able to unlock one additional javelin out of the three or four, I think, that they had. So basically, you got to experience a very small bit of story, the basics of gameplay, and two of the javelins.
Okay.
So I get a good feel for it, but I don't know if it was really enough for me to make a decision on whether I purchase it or not.
And the javelin is just like a power suit, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically power armor.
Okay, cool. Like Iron Man, more or less.
Yeah, Iron Man, yeah.
All right.
And actually, that's a good analogy, because you actually, one of the fun things to do in it is you fly around in your javelin, like, literally like Iron Man, flying horizontally around the forest really areas. Yeah, it was pretty fun to fly. A little bit hard to control, because you have to control with your mouse, and it's one of those things where, like, the further you move your mouse from center, the harder it turns, and then to stop turning, you have to move your mouse back to center.
Okay.
It felt kind of awkward, but it was fun visually to just zoom around.
All right. So since you're flying with a mouse, does it invert, like, the up and down, the y-axis?
By default, no. You can change it to do that. But actually, and as many games that I play with inverted flight controls, this is one that I tried inverted, and it just didn't feel as good as the default normal axis.
All right, cool. Matt, what is this you put in about the WoW World First Race?
So, every so often in WoW, one of the things they do is add more content to the game, obviously, usually in the form
of
new raids. So, yeah, that was super generic lead-in, sorry. But no, so obviously every so often they bump all your gear so that, like, all the gear you can get is better now, and it's all new raids. Well, it's become kind of a community event. Blizzard doesn't really endorse it officially, but the few top guilds in the world, it's basically a race to see who can clear the new raid first. In the sense, mainly just who kills the bosses the quickest and who kills them first. Okay. And it's actually this expansion, it's kind of taken on almost a new life of its own, because in the past, all of these guilds wouldn't stream, they wouldn't let any news out. It was like you kind of just had certain websites that you could watch, like the character armories of the different characters to see who has killed what bosses. So you knew when they killed it, but you had like no details until they actually put a kill video out or something like that. Well, all
right.
With the massive growth of like Twitch and the streaming industry, one thing that has blown up is like a lot of these guys, like the way that they make their living and have the time to play this game enough to be in like world top five guilds is they're streamers. So it turned into a thing where people were threatening to leave guilds at some points because it was like taking 2 weeks off of work. You lost viewers, you lost income, literally, for these races. So the top guild in the world, Method, the last raid and this one, streamed all of their progress, which is really interesting to see, because how they strategize and how they approach different fights was really cool. But yeah, that just happened. The new raid came out on January 22nd, the mythic version of the new raid came out on the 29th, and yeah, it was over the last week or so after it was released. It was the top guilds in the world, guys playing like 16 hours a day to all try and kill the bosses first.
Jesus. So, is there any kind of reward for whoever gets it first?
No, not really.
just bragging rights.
It's bragging rights. And I mean, really, the last couple raid tiers here, yes, you could make an argument there were rewards, because Method, the guild that has gotten world first the last two raid tiers, their streams of the world first race, I think the numbers were somewhere in like the 50k plus viewers for most days. When they got the world first kill last time, they got like 1,000 Twitch subs in the 5 minutes after the kill.
Dang.
So do the math there.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot of money coming
in. That kind of, that many eyeballs watching and that much, you know, that many people paying attention, that many subs, that's... Because, you know, a lot of that is they're sponsored, too. Like, they have various game, you know, MSI, Red Bull. There were a bunch of companies that sponsored them for the race. So, they make a pretty good amount of cash off of it. So,
okay, cool.
That's
really interesting. That's the WoW World First Race.
And it's one of those things I'll say, like, you don't... A lot of it, you don't even necessarily have to be interested in WoW. Like Mike, you might even get a kick out of watching clips of it, because it really does come down to them approaching these boss fights in not quite as much gear as the bosses are tuned for the raid group to have. So they have to come up with some very interesting solutions to how do we avoid this damage? How do we heal through these abilities? You know, it's creating and executing those strategies it sounds really stupid as I'm saying, just saying it here, but if you watch the process as a whole, that you got to respect it a little bit.
Yeah, it does sound interesting. I mean, I always like strategy.
It really does. Like, normally I'm not big into WoW at all, but that's super interesting.
The big drama this time is that the current boss, there were basically two strategies you could use to kill it right now. There's like a burn strat, where in the last phase of the fight is very damage heavy. There's an extra add that you have to deal with aside from the boss. So there's basically two strats. You either kill the add, which it has a ton of health, so that takes a bunch of time and introduces other complications into the fight. Or you can try and burn down the boss and just keep the add interrupted. Like, pretty much every class has like an interrupt ability to stop someone, a NPC, from casting an ability. So they had to constantly interrupt the add while still doing enough damage to the boss. Their main competition gave up on that burn strat because they didn't think they had enough damage, where Method kept pressing forward with it because their raid leader actually had done the math and knew for a fact that if they played the fight right, they would have enough damage to kill it. And eventually they did. It took them like 347 tries to finally kill the thing. Oh my god. Yeah.
How many hours is that?
It took them, they were raiding roughly 16 hours a day, and it took them 6 days to clear the raid. Jeez. Now, that being said, that's just from when the raid was released.
Yeah.
The way that WoW is structured right now, they played for roughly 12 to 15 hours a day on average for about the past month, just to prepare multiple characters to potentially be used in this raid.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the amount of prep that these guys do is absolutely obscene. And just based on those numbers I just threw out there, it's understandable why one of the only reasons they can afford to do this is because most of them are streamers at this point.
Right.
Because anyone with a real, with a standard, you know, 9-to-5 office job or whatever.
Yeah, they're not
going to really going to have the free time to prep what the characters you need to prep, and you wouldn't have the time. It would be really hard to take the time off work to, you know, play for 16 hours a day.
You would literally have to not sleep ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, it was, like I said, it's even if you're not necessarily a WoW player or into it, check out Method GG is the Twitch channel. They have all the VODs on there, and it's, that's Method, it's a pretty GG. Cool thing.
All I have to say is, wow.
Wow. Nice. That's super interesting. Like, you know me, I'm not into WoW at all, but that's crazy. So the Overwatch League's about to start up. Season 2.
Outlaws.
Yeah, Outlaws. Who are the guys from our area again?
So we got a few Midwestern boys on the Outlaws, which is why I've taken to them. They have Cool Matt, the D.Va player, off-tank player, from LaPorte, Indiana. And then they have Boink, the off-support player. I think he's a Lucio player, from Gurnee, Illinois. And then we have Mooma, the main tank, from
Mooma.
Trying to remember the city, but it's somewhere in Ohio. He's from Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are several new teams actually that they just added for season 2.
Looking at that. We got the Atlanta Reign.
Yeah, Atlanta and Washington are the new U.S. cities, and then Canada's finally getting
they got represented. Toronto and Vancouver.
And then I guess they're really, I can see why, because China's such a huge market for anything, really. They added, in addition to the Shanghai Dragons that they already had, they added three new teams.
Jeez.
Chengdu, Guangzhou, and Hangzhou.
Yeah, that's the Chengdu Hunters, the Guangzhou Charge, and the Hangzhou Spark.
Yeah, yeah. And then Paris, balancing out the European side.
Yeah, the Eternal. And just to clarify, the Canadian teams are the Toronto Defiant and the Vancouver Titans. And the two U.S. teams are the Atlanta Reign and the Washington Justice. Is there anything you could tell us about any of the new players?
I have not. So today I watched two matches, and that was my first exposure to any of the new players, really. So I'm not familiar with the additions to the league or any potential rising stars out of those players. But
okay.
I do know that things got switched around. There were some trades between teams. Of course, Soon and who was the other one? Soon and Shadowburn. They moved to the Paris team.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, personally, I'll be rooting for the Outlaws again, like usual.
Yeah, and hopefully this season, Shanghai can win a game.
Poor Shanghai. Poor Shanghai. I want to see them do well.
Yeah, I would like to see them do better. I think they restructured a lot of their team. So
yeah,
them and Florida Mayhem also, they kind of just dumped a lot of their players and just restarted from scratch.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it starts February 14th on Thursday of next week, so I'll be absolutely be watching that.
Very cool. That's starting on Valentine's Day. Wow. That's ambitious.
Perfect for me. Like, gives me something to do.
So I think that's all the video game news we had. There isn't a whole lot in terms of film and television. I think the biggest one is that the Oscars officially have no host now.
Ooh.
So
that might just be this year.
Yeah, it looks, well, yeah, it is just this year. And that the less popular awards for the Oscars will be handed out during commercial breaks. Miles, do you know at all how they're going to structure it without a host?
I'm guessing they'll just have people come on stage like they always have, just this time the segments in between this to probably have people just come up to that, or maybe not even have that at all.
Yeah, I'm guessing there'll probably be like an announcer or something for just basic stuff.
I thought I saw a rumor. Aren't they trying to get a lot of the Avengers cast members?
Really?
I have not heard that.
I haven't heard that either.
Maybe my info's off, but
that'd be a great marketing idea, though.
I think it was, and this was a couple weeks ago at this point, so who knows how relevant it actually is, but I thought it was Screen Junk. I saw an article on Reddit, a post on Reddit, and then I thought I saw a video from Screen Junkies that they were apparently reaching out to the various Avengers cast members, and the joke was like the Avengers assemble to host the Oscars. And it would have been like, instead of having that one host that comes out to like fill in gaps and introduce the different, groups, it would just be like a different member of the Avengers each time.
That'd be
doing a small cool, like bit or,
Yeah. That'd be neat. But nothing's confirmed with that at least.
I think you're probably right though about it being just this year. Because, I'm assuming they were kind of counting on Kevin Hart. And I'm surprised they wouldn't have a backup. But the way he kind of got... the drama that surrounded him of essentially not accepting the role, if you want to put it lightly. Or getting booted from it, whatever.
I think he was booted, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think it went both ways. They weren't going to have him back, and he wasn't going to go back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was reading...
it's I think ultimately it's this decision they made is probably just a panicked reaction to trying to be politically correct, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be a success and they'll say, oh, okay, well, this year nobody complained about Host, we'll do it again, or maybe it'll be a disaster and they'll be like, okay, we gotta have someone doing the job.
Yeah. I was just reading earlier that the last time it had a host was back in 1989. That last time it didn't have a host, I mean. I was not aware of that before.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Kind of cool Black Panther got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, we could
talk. I don't know how much of a chance it realistically has, but...
Yeah,
you know, I don't... That's a very...
I don't think so.
I don't think it does. But it's nice that it's represented there. Like, just the comic book movie industry is getting a little more recognition more and more each day.
I don't think there's been a comic book movie nominated since The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right there.
Which, I mean, credit where credit's due, Black Panther is just a good movie. I mean,
yeah, it's
regardless of the fact that it's sourced from or, you know, comics are included in the Marvel cinematic universe, it's still just a really good movie.
It's a pretty incredible movie. I have to agree there.
I guess the key is to go black or dark.
Ha!
I think it's kind of shitty that they're not televising the quote-unquote lesser awards.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks. Yeah, it is.
For the people that worked hard to get those awards.
Yeah, that is kind of shitty.
I mean, on the one hand, though, I can also sympathize with the fact that they've expanded out to so many categories over the years that if you did try to get everything actually broadcast, you'd be there, like, most of the night.
Yeah,
as it is right now, it's like 5 hours or something.
That's what I mean, to trying to tighten down that schedule. I mean, I could see why they're doing it, but yeah, it doesn't change the fact that it does kind of stink that certain people won't get their 15 minutes.
And they're not the only ones who have done that. I know the Grammys have done something similar in the past where they get like the lesser awards out before the show even starts.
But who takes the Grammys seriously?
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's just about everything we have for news. Shall we move on?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so first discussion topic for the night is, do trailers show too much, and how does it affect the creative efforts of the creators of that movie or show or game or whatever? Like, so this whole thing, I got the idea for all this by reading an article recently of where David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the creator, the showrunners for Game of Thrones, were talking about how they kind of wish they didn't have to do trailers so they wouldn't have to give away anything, so it could all just be a surprise. I thought that was really interesting. What do you guys think?
I mean, you gotta market.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, right? Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's your unique circumstances where you just have monsters of pop culture, like Game of Thrones or the Avengers movies, where you could borderline get away with absolute minimal marketing, like just posters with a release date. Avengers would probably still make $1 billion.
Probably.
But, I mean... It really comes down to, you said it, how does it affect the creative efforts? I think the trailers and the marketing, it comes down to whose creative efforts that is. Like, look at something like Deadpool, where you had Ryan Reynolds and the actual Deadpool creative team directly involved with the marketing.
That's a good point.
There's a lot of people that would argue that the marketing for Deadpool was as good as the movie. I mean, it was an amazing marketing campaign.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Flip that on its head, and how many different marketing campaigns have just been outsourced to this or that third-party media house with no real creative input from the actual teams behind the movie or TV show.
Right.
And how many spoilers have been given away because of that? It's how you handle the process, really.
And I think Game of Thrones and Avengers Endgame are actually a great example of how to market your upcoming film or season without giving too much away. Like, that first trailer for Avengers told us more or less nothing.
And nothing you couldn't safely assume anyway.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Okay, Tony and Nebula were on a spaceship.
That was like, yeah, that was really the only thing we didn't see.
What else was, well, but okay, logically speaking, what else was going to happen? Tony wasn't going to build a teleporter. You know, their only option to get off Titan was get in the spaceship and fly off. So it's like, there's a balance to be had. Like, sure, if you want to take it to an extreme, you could count that as a spoiler. But I feel like at the end of the day, you have to market these things.
Well, yeah. Yes, at the end of the day, you got to get your thing out there so people know it exists and so they come see it.
Plus, I think one thing I got to hand it to, and again, this kind of comes as a symptom of being as popular and as big as they are. One really cool thing about the way that, like, Avengers has been marketed is the theories and the discussion that the trailers spawn.
Yes.
Because without actually giving anything away, you have tons of fan theories out there. Like, one of the more crazy ones I've heard, which who knows if it's true, is in some of the more recent Avengers trailers, you get, like, the lineup shots where they're all out on a lawn looking up in the sky. The shot itself gives away nothing. But there's fan theories out there that, based on how the real life characters like Captain America and Black Widow are spaced out, that there's gaps where people are saying, oh yeah, well, the Hulk would be CGI'd in there or something like that. And it's like, being able to build that marketing to not just say, here's a trailer, here's a release date, but to actually spark conversation and fan discussion.
Yeah.
That's a really good job at marketing.
I actually remember that exact thing happening for Avengers Age of Ultron. The early trailers showed that lineup and, later on, that same shot had more characters like the Hulk and Iron Man added in with CGI later on, in later trailers. So they could potentially add that in.
And now there's the flip side to that, that there were some fans that were a little angry, if you want to call it that, over, and a good example is the Thor Ragnarok marketing versus the movie. Mm-hmm. Spoilers ahead for anyone that it's been out long enough, so I think we're pretty safe there. But the fact that he loses his eye in the movie, and for a significant portion of Act 3, is he has an eye patch similar to like what Odin had in the previous Thor movies, and it's a really cool nod to his dad and whatever, but all of the marketing, it was CGI'd out, so you looked at him with both eyes.
I thought that was really clever that they did that.
So that's another take on, because I know, Tim, me and you have kind of discussed this in the past. I know one of your bigger complaints about trailers is that they give away twists and stuff like that. So where does that balance land? What is too much change to where it almost becomes false advertising versus hiding a twist? Like, there is a fine line there, I feel like.
I'm all for hiding twists and stuff like that. I think that's great. My problem is when you have, for a good example of this is the second Spider-Man Homecoming trailer. It basically more or less gave away the entire movie. Like, if you go back and watch the second trailer that came out for that movie, there was some stuff that it didn't give away. But you got more or less every major story beat, and you can pretty much figure out how the movie was going to play out just from that trailer.
Well, we'll see how that actually does play out. Because I actually haven't seen the trailer yet, so I really don't know what was seen. But that's a 2-minute trailer out of a 2-hour movie. It can't possibly give away that much of the movie.
Right.
So
we did see
we're judging that one a little preemptively.
I'm talking about the first Spider-Man movie, Homecoming.
Oh, I thought you meant the one coming up.
No. I think
don't remember that trailer.
The second trailer for Homecoming is one that did. And look, after I saw the movie, I'm like, okay, yeah, it did basically give away the entire movie. But that first trailer for Far From Home, I thought was fine. I don't think it gave anything away too much.
Not in the Spider-Man movie, at least.
Yeah. No, even anything related to Avengers Endgame, I don't think it gave away really anything. Apart from, big things like who's coming back.
Which, I mean, to be fair on that point,
we kind of like, it's a pretty safe guess.
Yeah, you're not going to kill off billions of dollars worth of potential, movie revenue.
Right.
Just for the sake of a plot twist. So it's, in traditional comic book fashion, it's usually pretty safe to assume that the characters are coming back.
But personally, I would like to see more trailers like Avengers Endgame, the first trailer for that, or Game of Thrones trailers that we've been seeing recently, where they don't really show you much of anything at all, but it still gets you really hyped for that thing.
I'm curious to see where the Game of Thrones trailers go from here, but I agree. I'm curious to see what the final trailers in that tail end of March leading into the actual season premieres, where short version, the ones where you actually start to see clips from the show. Because what they've released so far, obviously, yes, is probably clips from the show, but it's like a 2-second shot of one character staring at what you could probably assume is just another character.
Yeah.
So they give away nothing. They just show you who's going to be there, which you already know.
We know that someone is going to be staring at some point in the show.
Yes.
But that's what I mean. It's like, have more trailers that don't give away much like that. As far as personally, as far as later trailers that will show a lot more from the show, I think I might skip those entirely just for me.
And again, that kind of cycles back to a question I asked before. Game of Thrones? You could have the trailer just be a pan out shot of the release date.
I mean, you're totally right. That's
and that's all isn't you really that what they
did for the release date?
More or less. And that's kind of where I got that comment from.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you're totally right.
You can get away with a lack of marketing because it's so popular that word of mouth is going to handle it for you.
So, okay.
When you're a smaller, B-list indie-style movie company that's trying to make a name for yourself, you kind of have to show more to catch people's attention.
That's what I was actually about to
say. In trying to show more, you can very potentially give away what your product is.
Right. Yeah, I was about to bring up that exactly thing. How do smaller movies and smaller TV shows handle that, where they want to build excitement for their show or movie, but they don't want to give too much away? Would it be as effective for them to do something like Avengers or Game of Thrones, or do they have to show more?
Sometimes, sometimes those things don't, maybe you don't know the story as well, but there are people tied to the project. What's the, that new horror movie coming out after Get Out?
Oh, Us.
Yeah, that one, I felt like it didn't show, too much. You don't really know anything about it, but we know if you've seen Get Out, you kind of have an idea of what that might be like.
Yeah, I think we, after Get Out, Jordan Peele got enough attention from that to where basically all eyes are on him now to see what he does next.
And that's that. Yeah, it's basic marketing. You're going to play the strengths of what you're trying to market. If you're trying to market a more or less sequel to Get Out, you're going to play up to that, you know.
Yeah.
From Jordan Peele, Academy Oscar award winning, Get Out, blah blah blah. You're going to drop all those you're going to do all those name drops.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's
that's how you get asses in seats.
You know,
but yeah, you got to go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but on the flip side of that, that we kind of already said one too many times, is when you're Avengers Infinity War, you don't exactly need to drop Robert Downey Jr. as a, you know, name drop.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I thought, like, another new one coming out was Captain Marvel, which I thought was pretty well done. That didn't give away too much, I thought.
No, and that, to be honest, Captain Marvel is actually a good counter discussion to Infinity War, almost, or
Endgame,
in that it is a new character and a new solo outing, and you're trying to get, they really do need to get that tone of the movie across without trying to give away too much, which yeah, I think they did okay, because it's her first movie, so you're kind of assuming origin story, so they've kind of laid the groundwork of her origin in the marketing so that they can actually focus on the action and story building in the movie itself, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they got the tone right. It doesn't seem like it's too serious, but it doesn't look like it's going full comedy either.
I think, like, it's going to come off a little cheesy to some people just because of the we're back in the 90s aspect of it.
I mean, are trying to go for I think they are trying to go for more of a 90s action film kind of vibe.
It's not their first period piece either. No.
That's true. It's not.
No, that's... I didn't mean to make it come off like I don't think they can achieve... I think just the fact that they're doing a period piece about the 90s... I mean, face it, look at a lot of the movies from the 90s. They look a little cheesy by today's standards. That's all I was trying to say. It's like, I'm worried they're going to do too good a job at putting themselves in the 90s, and it's going to come off as almost that little bit too cheesy.
You don't think Kindergarten Cop was a serious movie?
Kindergarten Cop was a masterpiece. It's not a Tuma.
It's that sort of balance of tone is gonna mean a lot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds right. Yeah. I am curious how she's gonna fit into Endgame.
Well, I mean, that's my two running theories right now. That scene where they were out on the grass, they're either looking at her flying or at, I feel like, Tony coming back on this spaceship.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories that she actually rescues Tony.
Yeah.
Which I could see that. But did you see there was some reactions to early screenings of Captain Marvel, and people were saying it's pretty amazing. And that, weirdly enough, the cat was the standout character.
The who?
The cat.
The cat. The cat?
You remember the cat that Fury is petting in the first trailer?
Kind
of. It's right at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched
that. That's actually a character. It's actually a character in Marvel Comics. Like in the Captain Marvel comics, that cat is like a legit. It's not just like Captain Marvel's cat. I forget what its name is, but it's a legit
Goose
speaking role character.
I think it's Goose.
Goose, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what if the cat's a Skrull? Oh,
well, that's the running joke, is the cat's gonna be the one that takes Fury's eye or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which I very funny. Much think is just a joke. I think that, I mean,
it's gotta be a joke.
Again, potential spoilers, I guess, if you want to mute us now, but I think it's probably a safe assumption to, like, based on Fury's comments about trust from the previous Captain America movies.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a fair assumption that a Skrull is going to be shape-shifted as someone that's close to Fury, and that's how he loses the eye.
100% agree. Yeah, it's so... I think it's pretty really obvious that that's what's going to happen.
Well, before we get... Do we switch topics without...
Yeah, a little bit. So? I mean, it kind of, that's how good a job we did with this, Miles. We managed to transition topics without even you noticing.
I was just going to add, like, real quick on the last part, the Game of Thrones trailers, I was thinking, what if they just did, like, trailer, like, that one trailer they did, but from each, like, different... family, you know, like do a trailer where it's just the Lannisters, then
I think that's going to be a case. Like, I don't think many of their trailers are going to contain actual show footage.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
It's a great way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to see much of any show footage really from any more trailers from that. But yeah, we'll get into more Game of Thrones stuff at a later date when we get closer to the actual season coming out.
Which is going to be a tough one, because, I mean, at least for my part, I'm pretty much avoiding any and all further trailers as much as I can.
Same.
So.
Well, like I said, we'll do some predictions or something. Since most of us are rewatching now.
Works for me. So. Yeah, I think that
that's
pretty much that, wraps things then.
Yeah, that about wraps it up. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode. It's much shorter than last week, than the last episode at least, which is nice. Yeah, we'll try and get a more consistent recording schedule down, get these out a little faster. We hope to see you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching. Have a good one.